Good evening. Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley. We're so happy that you made it through the fog to be with us this evening. Later in our service, before we sing Silent Night, we are going to be lighting candles. So a few of our elders are going to come forward. I'm going to try to do this without lighting anything on fire. And they're going to have candles like this. They'll be lit. And then if you could take your candle and put it into the flame like this, and then tilt it over, and then keep yours upright once it's lit, that way we are not getting wax everywhere, which I've learned is really hard to get out of carpet and upholstery. So if you could just be mindful as you're lighting your candle, we would appreciate it. All right, let us begin worship this evening with our call to worship. I will read the parts that are in italics, and I invite you to join in with me in the parts that are bolded. Our souls magnify the Lord. Our spirits rejoice in God, our Savior. The Mighty One has done great things for us. Holy is God's name. Let us worship God, for God is our Maker and our Redeemer. From generation to generation, God gives mercy. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with us for O Come, All Ye Faithful. The lyrics will be on the screens. Confession. God of the future, you are coming in power to bring all nations under your rule. We confess that we have not expected your kingdom, for we live casual lives,
ignoring your promised judgment. We accept lies as truth, exploit neighbors, abuse the earth, and refuse your justice and peace. In your mercy, forgive us. Grant us wisdom to welcome your way and to seek things that will endure when Christ comes to judge the world.
I invite you to join with me in our words of assurance. Our Lord Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. In the third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated for our choir's anthem.
Underneath
Please join me in prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us pray for the life of the world. Lord, we pray for our church. We pray that you would continue to be with her in this new year ahead. With Mary, help us to treasure and ponder the gift that has been given to us, a gift of good news and great joy for all. O Christ, our light, hear our prayer. We pray for the world. With the prophets, help us proclaim the promise of your peace for all nations and your justice for all people. O Christ, our light, hear our prayer. We pray for this community. With the shepherds, help us to keep watch over those entrusted to our care and all who need protection this night. O Christ, our light, hear our prayer. We pray for loved ones. With the angels, help us to offer signs of hope, comfort, and joy for all who live in fear. O Christ, our light, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, hope of the world, help us to bear witness to your light so that all may believe and have life in you. In your holy name we pray the words that you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us continue to worship God by presenting our offering.
Come.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts to the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Shine in our
Tonight we celebrate the birth of Jesus. We thank you for this, the most precious of Christmas gifts. And we ask that you keep the hope, peace, joy, and love of this season in our hearts now and throughout the coming year. Emmanuel, God is with us now and forevermore.
Good evening, everyone. Today's Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest. So people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from the time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord host will do this.
We're going to remain seated for our next carol. It will be O Little Town of Bethlehem. The lyrics will be on the screen.
Thank you.
tonight's New Testament reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. Hear the word of the Lord. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Bless the reading of today's word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Did anyone notice anything a little bit different about the scripture passage that Arlie just read? Did it sound a little off? Maybe some words were a little unfamiliar. Well, you are correct. The version that I had Arlie read is the translation from the King James Bible, and we usually use a different translation in worship. But on this Christmas Eve, I wanted to read the scripture passage from a special Bible. This Bible actually belonged to my great-grandmother, Evelyn Brannan. It was given to her by her sister Ethel for her birthday in 1957, the same year that my father was born. This Bible was given to me by Evelyn's daughter, my grandmother, as a Christmas present many Christmases ago, long before anyone knew that I would grow up to be a minister. My grandmother wanted me to have something to remember my father's family by. See, I was quite young when my father passed away. It's barely out of my teenage years. One of the hardest things about losing a parent so young is that part of your family history dies with them. What I treasure about this Bible is that my great-grandmother used it to record significant dates in the life of our family. Birth dates, dates of marriages, dates of a few divorces, and dates when family members passed away, all recorded with care in my great-grandmother's elegant handwriting. In our scripture passage for this evening, we learn that Joseph didn't have anything like a family Bible to record the events in the life of his family. He and his pregnant fiancée Mary had to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem in order to be counted in Caesar Augustus's census. Basically, they had to return home to where Joseph was from to be counted. Now, this journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem would have been difficult. Imagine going horseback riding in the dark on a country road while 9 months pregnant. And you'll have a sense of how difficult this journey was for this family. But it was actually a pretty typical means of traveling in the ancient Near East. They would have seen it as an ordinary trip home. But when Mary and Joseph arrive in Bethlehem, Mary goes in to labor. It says in our scripture passage that Mary cannot deliver the baby in Joseph's family's inn. But what they don't tell us is actually, according to the customs and laws of that time, women were considered unclean for a month after they gave birth. But so was everyone else in their household. So if Mary gave birth in Joseph's family's home, no one in that family would be allowed to go to temple for a month, and they would be cut off from their friends and their social network. So Mary decides to give birth to Jesus in an ordinary manger, surrounded by animals and straw. On this extraordinary night, something even more extraordinary happens. An angel of the Lord appeared to ordinary shepherds. Shepherds keeping watch of their flock by night. The angel tells the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." The shepherds encounter God when they are in the midst of tending to their ordinary duties. See, God chose to enter human history as a little baby born to Mary in Bethlehem. The ordinary circumstances of Jesus' birth cry out to us that God is trying to relate to God's people in a new way. The birth of the baby Jesus marks the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. "And I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people." On this Christmas Eve, like the shepherds, we too prepare ourselves for the good news of Jesus. We light candles, we sing hymns, we read scripture. And we gather together with family, friends, and neighbors to bear witness to the miracle of God becoming man and dwelling among us. All of this preparation on this holy night compels us to reflect on how we see God's work unfolding in the midst of our everyday, ordinary lives. When I think about God at work in my life, I often think of the people that God has placed in my life. I think of grandparents who gave me Bibles, who took me to every vacation Bible school in the South Hills in the early 2000s, who bought me books when I was in seminary. But I also think of my parents, and I think of the sacrifices that they made so I could be standing here tonight. My dad had the unenviable task of teaching me how to read when I was a child, and my mom has moved me something like 9 times in the last 5 years. But most of all, I think of the people in our congregations, of the men and the women that God has called together to be God's people in this time and in these places. This evening, I couldn't help but think of all of the invisible helpers who've been working tirelessly in the last week to prepare for this service. Because, friends, the good news of the Incarnation, well, I mean, good news and bad news, depending on how you look at it, is that we would not know the good news were it not for shepherds tending to their flock by night. Shepherds who, on an ordinary night, witnessed something extraordinary, then had the courage to go and tell other people what they saw. This is good news and bad news because this good news is not just for those of us gathered in this room this evening, but for all people. And in order for this to be good news, our lives must bear witness to the belief that the real King of Peace, Jesus Christ, is indeed among us. Christmas is the active remembering of what God has already accomplished in Jesus, and the hope that Jesus is coming again to restore creation to its intended glory. Friends, let us now go from this place on this foggy Christmas Eve, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with whoever we meet along our ordinary journeys. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. This time, I would like the elders to come forward and we will begin lighting our candles. friends, before we head out into this foggy evening, let me say a word of blessing. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a purpose to you being there. Christ, who dwells in you, has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.
Amen.